We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, I'm really pleased to have a new sponsor to the podcast. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and the most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers rather than you battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. Football season's over, but hoops action is heating up. Whether it's tournament season right through the end of this month or the fight for playoff home court advantage heading into the postseason, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Download the app today and use code Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, for a first deposit match of up to $100.
You don't want it. You don't need it, but you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Chris Cooley on the show today with film breakdowns of Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. He'll do Drake May and Michael Penix Jr. Hopefully a little later on next week. The show's presenting sponsor, as always, is Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free in-home, no-obligation estimate. So I'm going to open real quickly with a big piece of news, kind of, at least for a lot of you. And I think it's worth discussing briefly here in the opening segment, and then we'll get right to Cooley and his film breakdowns. But Adam Schefter was on a podcast called Trap or Dive, and he said the following about Washington and what they'll do at number two in the upcoming draft.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well. I think you go get those Jaden Daniels jerseys. I think you go get that.
Adam Schefter, unwavering in his belief that Daniels is going number two to Washington. That from the Trap and Dive podcast, where he says it's safe, Commanders fans, to order a Jaden Daniels jersey. Now, he did go on to say that this isn't coming directly from the Commanders. It's coming from all of his sources, and he's got plenty, that essentially have indicated that Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in this draft. But man, Schefter, three or four times now, right, over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, very insistent, very steadfast in his belief that Washington will select Daniels at number two. I believe Daniels is the second best quarterback in this draft. You guys know that. I think he's closer to Williams than whomever number three is to Daniels. And I do think that the Schefter position, I think the more and more you read or you watch or you listen to, you know, actual experienced evaluators talk about these quarterbacks, it appears Daniels is the clear-cut number two quarterback in this draft. I think it all leads to Adam Peters coming to the same conclusion. Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Washington front office coming to the same conclusion. Would I wager on it at this point? Maybe now. I'm starting to feel more confident that that is the pick. But again, the top 30 visits haven't happened, and they can change their mind. Something could happen, you know, in one of these top 30 visits. They could learn something between now and Thursday night, April 25th. But, you know, the Schefter position is interesting because it's Schefter. It's Schefter. I mean, there are a few guys out there that are a lot more plugged in media-wise than everybody else, and he's one of them. All right, Chris Cooley's film breakdown of Jaden Daniels next. He'll do J.J. McCarthy in the third segment, right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree, and with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing, Unified spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. This segment of the show brought to you by Window Nation. Call them if you've been thinking about new windows. Give them the first shot to give you an estimate. There's no risk. The estimate's free of charge when you mention my name. They're not going to pressure you into making a decision. They'll give you a chance to shop the deal if you want. But at least you'll find out how many windows you really need and what the cost is. And Window Nation will come out. They'll give you that free in-home estimate. They'll tell you what you need. And right now, the offer is pretty simple. Buy two, get two free with no limit. That means you're paying half price on the windows. And then no payments and no interest for 2 full years. Give Window Nation the first shot just to give you an estimate. Then you can decide what you want to do after that. But call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. You're getting the best product delivered and installed by the most experienced team for what I think is a great deal. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. With me today on this Saturday, beautiful Saturday on the East Coast, is Chris Cooley, who has two quarterbacks that he is going to give a review on, Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy today. He will do Drake May and Michael Penix Jr. For a time either later this week or the week before the draft. I know he's excited about it. It's tough to get our schedules in sync. You know how much I appreciate that you do this because you are very busy. But look, there are, you know, at least a dozen people waiting to hear Chris Cooley's film breakdown of these quarterbacks.
And you.
Well, yeah.
So I know there's you. I really just do this to entertain you.
No, you don't.
And to stop getting your text messages for 5 to 6 days.
Well, you wouldn't get my text messages for 5 to 6 days if on the day that we had originally scheduled to do this, you had been available.
I'm actually aware of that. And I am clearly not the best in terms of schedule, but I've had my worst all-time week.
You have?
Nothing's wrong. I think I got some issues this week with something. Like, I'm setting things up here, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I have this here.
Uh-huh. Well, you
had a big day set up with my buddy, with my boy and his friend, and my wife's our friends had a birthday party, and I told my son we could do this great fun night with his buddy, and then I had to tell him at like 4 o'clock, psych, that wasn't true. Yeah. We're not doing that with your friend.
Well, you know,
he cried.
That's
he cried, and then the other dad called me, and he's like, yeah, no, I mean, we're friends, and they're together today all day, so it worked out. But he's like, yeah, my son just dropped his head and went and sat in his room. I'm like, so that's worse than missing your podcast.
Yes, disappoint the kids.
With like 3 business meetings. It was just not a good week for me in terms of schedule. I got to write things down, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I had said to Tommy earlier this week, I'm just a little bit off. Like, I am, I'm forgetting things, I'm missing things, but I don't think I'm turning into you because you've not.
No, that's hard to do.
That's hard to do, but I think the most important thing is you don't let the kids down. So make sure
you don't let the kids
down. No. All right.
I had one other issue. I don't know if you've ever had this, and I think it was one from one of my kids. I don't know how it happened. My date and time was set to a day off. So I'm getting, when I get a text message would come through, but it would never beep or alert me or show a text because it was yesterday's message.
Say that again?
So it would come through. So my date and time and settings on my phone was off. So if you text me, it would show, if I went into my messages, I would see, the blue dot by it, and it would be a new text. But it would never alert me that a text came. And then right when it came through, it would say yesterday. For me, if you text me now, I fixed it today, I saw it, but it would say, right, and if you text me now, it would say yesterday, 12:04.
You've always had issues with your phone, including finding it.
Yeah, which the biggest issue is I don't like it. So
yeah.
Anyways, that's enough of the excuses. It's just I just didn't do well this week, and I apologize.
Okay, well, let's get to it, because no one wants to hear this anyway. You've done Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I think you understand sort of the way this draft is setting up. Caleb Williams, more likely than not, 99.9% at this point, is going to go number one to Chicago. And the draft, everybody believes, starts with Washington at number two, although there have been recent rumblings from guys like Schefter that Jaden Daniels is going to be the Washington selection at number two. In fact, yesterday he made the comment, you can start buying your Jaden Daniels jerseys if you're Commanders fans. But I don't think anything's completely etched in stone at this point. It really doesn't matter because we want to hear what you think. Let's start with Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback.
I think it's crazy because I purposely did this way. I really had a good sense that they weren't going to draft McCarthy based on where their pick is. I'd watched some more of the McCarthy stuff through the season, so I had a feel for him, and we'll talk about him. But I purposely did Daniels instead of May. He's just a more exciting player, I think, in a lot of ways. But I didn't watch a ton of LSU. I don't watch a ton of football or college football.
Right.
So I'm through my third game. And I'm like, this dude is a freaking walking highlight tape. But you're just watching throws. You're just watching dropbacks or passing plays. And it's a highlight tape. It's insane. Jaden Daniels is incredible. He's a big, tall dude. I think 6'4". 210. So, and you hear he's slender frame. And he does. He's thin. He looks thin on the field. But 210's not that slender for a quarterback. 210's still pretty good weight. It's not like he couldn't get to 225 in a year or 2 years. You and I would have no problem with that.
Well, no. True.
No, I could manage 15 pounds in a week right now. do not care that he didn't test or do anything at the combine. I don't see any tangible reason for him to have run a 40-yard dash or to do a vertical jump or to go through any of the throws. I would like to see him throw the ball at the combine. I'd like to see him throw the ball in a dropback setting at the combine, which is maybe why he didn't do it. But he's probably 4.4, 4.4, 4.4, 4.4, 4.2. He plays pretty fast, Kev. Watch him get out of the pocket, and he's incredible as a runner.
Yeah. You think he'd run 4.4, right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Okay. If not 4.43,
yeah.
Something. Yeah, he did not run at the combine because he was worried he was going to run a 4.6. That wasn't a question. He's a 4.4 guy. He's got a burst. But he's also crazy athletic. I mean, his agility is awesome. Like his ability to sidestep, move out of the way, avoid, dodge, all incredible. Except for when he doesn't, because he gets smoked. He's gonna have to learn that. He can slide. Like you can watch enough games to see him slide. He knows how to slide. I think he's just competitive as a runner. Like he gets freaking waxed in the first half of the Ole Miss game, which is a first half, by the way, that's like 31-28 with unbelievable offense.
Right.
But he got hit in the face so hard and fumbled and went up in the air. Like, oh my God, dude. You could say you got to be able to protect the football, but you got to know that that's not a hit you need to take. Especially as a quarterback, we don't need to take that yet. And he took 3 or 4 in that game. He took a couple in every game.
Which of the games you watched? You said you watched 3 games.
I watched the Auburn game. I watched the Ole Miss game. I watched a bunch of here's the hard thing, right? I watched a bunch of random stuff because you look up Jaden Daniels film, and now there's 92 film breakdowns on the internet.
Right.
I think we talked about this 2 years ago, and I said it was crazy. Like, there's quite a bit of film breakdown.
Yeah.
Bro, like, every bro has his own film breakdown, and they all get up on the Google videos. Like, I don't want to watch you slow it down. I want to watch all his plays quickly.
Right.
So, anyways, as a passer, I think he's got pretty good feet in the pocket. I think he's got a willingness stay in the pocket. I think LSU runs some legitimate stuff where you see spacing and you see him read things out. He, as a progression type of guy, can get through progressions, at least can read the defense and identify who's going to be open and where they're going to be open and throw the ball in a rhythm and timing that is relatable to that concept. He can work short concepts with short spacing concepts. He can work 2x2 concepts. He's good out of a bunch set. Layering the ball down the field over linebackers on some of the little run action or play action throws to really drive it in over a linebacker is awesome. I think he's very accurate. You can find throws where you're seeing some inaccuracy, which would contradict exactly what I said. But I think for the most part, he does a really catchable and accurate ball. He takes some risks. But I think he also takes necessary risks in the moments of the game where you're like, ooh, that's a bad decision. Like, yeah, and we could put that on film and say, you know, out of context, it's a terrible decision. But a lot of times I think he's got a good feel for the flow of the game and how he's managing exactly that. To me, again, like I said, rhythm is, I think, really, really good. I think his feet have gotten better throughout the year. You watch another year, last year some. Feet is getting really, really pretty consistent. He's all gone, but that's what everyone is. I mean, it's hard to say that it's not that. And I don't care anymore because the NFL is really adapted to just that. They make big plays on the move. As a scrambler, he's obviously a massive problem when he gets out in the open field. Like you can have a second and 23, and all of a sudden he's running for 45 yards. It's not like he's a gain 8 to 12 yards and slide, but he can get you 45, 50. He can outrun the entire defense. I thought, really, overall, he's freaking special. It's okay. A couple of negatives that I saw. Like, I don't think he's got a rifle. Like, he can really let it go. Like, he can really let it go. He can throw a ball down the field, and he can throw the ball down the field with a ton of arc, and he does a great job on deep balls. But I don't think he's got a, like, send it across the field at 17 yards to a comeback gun.
Right.
To me, that's not what I see. It's, you know, he can put good touch on the ball, and he can drive a ball to the middle of the field. But to just sling it on a, just on a beeline, you know, to that mid-range, 15 to 20 yards-ish, he's got some touch on most of his throws. Which, if you're fine in timing of it, is a much more catchable ball, but can get you in trouble on the NFL level where windows aren't open as long as you would like them to be open.
Right.
So, you know, medium in terms of velocity and drive on the ball. But it's not bad. Like, we're not sitting here saying, once we can't throw the ball over 45 yards. Like, no, I bet he can throw the ball 65, 70 yards. Just that drive on it. Which is also something he can work on planting and driving off his back foot and probably improve on quite a bit. But so, I mean, overall, like, to me, you see an incredibly experienced college quarterback. He's calm in the pocket. His demeanor is absolutely tremendous. He can make big-time throws. He makes big throws and big plays. I think his discipline's good. His timing's good. But all that aside, just back what I started with, he's a walking freaking highlight reel. And how is this not your pick?
And you would see this at the NFL level, too.
I think you're going to see it immediately at the NFL level. To me, this is the new norm in a lot of ways that he might take some time to develop in terms of an all-around dude. Might not. It might look like C.J. Stroud. And it will probably depend on the fit of scheme and offense and some of the guys around him. Like, if he's got a guy like Neighbors, some of those receivers at LSU, and what they look like against other college teams, he'll be all right. I love him. Like, I don't think we need to do any more of this film breakdown on any of these other players. Like, this is my guy. Like, this is legitimately my guy at number two.
So, I mean, you know, before I put you to work on this project of doing film breakdowns of the quarterbacks that would potentially be picks for Washington, you knew how I felt about Jaden Daniels. Now, I don't dislike any of the others. I'm not a massive fan of McCarthy, but maybe there's reason for not being a fan because I just didn't see him do enough at Michigan. But on Daniels, so you think that in terms of the flaws, he doesn't necessarily drive that medium throw, that comeback, enough arm strength on that throw, but it's more timing and touch? And is there any concern about that?
Well, I think the concern is if that's a throw we have to make in a situation, that the timing, the open window is not anywhere near in the NFL what it is in college. But can he make the throw? Can he tempo the throw to say, hey, look, this dude right here is at 17 yards, and I trust that this break's going to be made at 19, and let's let it rip right now, or at 15, and let's trust that he's – as he comes back out of it, that he'll be there and make the catch. Like that timing can be acquired. That's a work with your receivers kind of deal.
The frame. You said he can put on more weight. Do you think he needs to put on more weight?
I don't think he needs to. If that was a massive concern of mine, but to me, I don't mind his frame. I think he's got a very athletic body. We could probably put on 5 or 6 pounds or 10 pounds, but I don't see this huge need for it. I mean, in the negatives, like, he's got to stop getting hit.
Right.
He's going to have to understand as a young quarterback in the NFL, we can't take those hits. But that's something that you can explain. And when you really think about it, if LSU loses two games, they can't play in the national championship, or most likely.
Right.
For, I mean, for the most part, every game is life or death to a championship.
Yep.
It's a playoff. I mean, every game in college football is a playoff game.
Yep, it was.
For the most part.
With four teams, you're right.
So I can see where someone like Jaden Daniels would say, I know how to play without complete reckless abandon. I choose to because I want to win. And we needed to win those games. And he's in a game like an Ole Miss game where he's taking a shot. They're down 21-7 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's 31-28, and they miss a field goal to tie it up at the end of the half. Like, I don't even... He probably had over 300 yards of total offense in the first half by himself.
Right.
That's a guess, but I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's incredible. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he had over 500 yards of offense in that game. It was 600 against Florida.
In a game that they ended up losing.
Yeah.
The other thing, like, when you... To me, here's the other thing. You read this a lot, too, or you'll hear this oftentimes with college quarterbacks. And I said it, and he does put touch on some of those intermediate throws to the outside. But also remember, the hashes are way wider. So throwing the left hash, throwing a ball across the field to the right hash is a much longer throw.
Right.
So...
What?
Like I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's perfect. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say every throw he made is amazing and everything. He made some mistakes. He got away with quite a few that could have been picks throughout the year. There's a lot that we could make a negative highlight tape of him and say that he's not the dude. But I think in a positive fashion, he's really dynamic. And back to the point I was making about a first year player and the new trend is. To me, he doesn't have to make such huge strides as a passer to be able to have success in the NFL. I think he's a lot closer in just that regard. But his ability to move and run and find green grass and open space, and also what that does to a defense and how they have to prepare and plan for that, changes the entire dynamic of what a quarterback is on an NFL level. It makes it a ton easier. And if you're taking a young guy, you better be able to move and run.
What kind of offense fits him best? There are people that, you know, watch just kind of highlight reels and say, well, this has to be a dual threat attack. This has to be Lamar Jackson in Baltimore for the first several years. What do you see?
Absolutely not. It doesn't have to be a dual threat offense. He has the ability to be in, to me, about whatever he wants. They will use dual threat, but everyone uses dual threat. And he'll have dual threat things situational or not. Like, there's a great opportunity to get yards. He's also really done a great job with that kind of a triple option with the read option, where you can hand it to the back, the quarterback could then run. But also, as we get out of the pocket, we can throw it to the flat route. So there's three versions of the option. You've seen that. I mean, you obviously understand what it is. But as he gets out, when the quarterback used to get out, when I was playing with Robert that first year, and it was starting in the NFL, the quarterback would come out of the pocket, and a tight end or somebody would arc out to block and supposed to escort them to the sideline. And so you're out there trying to block the widest guy and try to make sure the quarterback can get around you. And it's a fairly tough block. That was figured out like 6 years ago or 7 years ago. If I just run to the flat and look for the ball, the guy either has to cover me or not, and the quarterback can throw it to me or not. It makes it really easy. We don't have to adjust to what that block is.
Right. We've seen a lot of that just with Casey in Philadelphia.
So he can do that. They can do some of the zone read stuff. He can run a quarterback draw. He can do a lot of those things. But to me, again, I think he has enough football IQ to protect himself in the pocket, to take care of himself in the pocket, to understand his progressions, to make reads, to make throws, to get the ball down the field, to distribute. No, he does not have to be a dual threat option. quarterback, and that's what we have to do. It doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson's first year. I think he's a lot more versatile than that. I think in a lot of possibility, a lot of ways, he could look a lot like what C.J. Stroud did this year. You're like, this dude can make pretty much every throw. He can threaten vertically with unbelievable touch to put the ball on an arc and drop it, like drop it in the bucket. Like, but his does. It drops. It drops and is easy catchable. He can lay throws in the middle field on some of those deeper in routes. He can throw consistently to short routes. He reads things out very well. So I think he can be in what I think he can be whatever you want him to be. I think he opens the door to doing a lot as an offense with a rookie quarterback.
All right, let's get to J.J. McCarthy next, right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, if you're looking for a fun way to play daily fantasy sports, Prize Picks is the place to go to. I downloaded the Prize Picks app recently. It's exciting, it's easy, it's different when it comes to DFS. It's just you against the numbers. It's not you battling thousands of other players. It's picking more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections with odds. Like the other night, I had Caitlin Clark less than 33 points and less than 6 three-pointers. It paid 3-1. The NBA playoffs are coming up. The NHL playoffs are coming up. Prize Picks offers so many different opportunities on a nightly basis. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use my code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app. Download it today. Use my code Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. This segment of the show brought to you by MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag or MyBookie.com. Use my promo code KevinDC and you'll get a cash bonus on your initial deposit. Lots still left for the Masters if you want to wager on golf for the Sunday final round, with this podcast getting out on this late Saturday. And then all of the NBA playoffs starting next week with the play-in round games. MyBookie has it all. Fair numbers, fair spreads, money lines, totals, prop bet numbers, and fair pricing as well. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC. We continue with Cooley, J.J. McCarthy. Go ahead.
J.J. McCarthy's really a lot more interesting to me when you watch some film on him than what I thought he was going to be before I watched some film on him.
Okay.
I really did not see it per se in McCarthy, and I think the biggest thing is Michigan is so heavy run the ball. And you could look at him as a manager or a guy that just facilitates and runs an offense. But when you really start to watch, he'll make big plays and big throws in big moments of every game. He's really gritty. And he also, when you're talking about the throws he's making and the plays he's making, he can throw a ball into the tightest windows with precise accuracy. He is very, very accurate with the football. I think he's got a toughness to him. He's as a young quarterback, again, he's got the ability to run and move. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
What did he run? Did he run a 40? Because I'll bet.
I forget if he ran it at his promo day.
He's not worse than a low 4.6 guy. I mean, he's a 4.6 guy. If not fast, I mean, he could be faster.
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
But his quicks are really good.
He didn't run the 40 at the combine. The only time he's run a 40, apparently there's a report that he ran 4.48 before the season started at Michigan, but he was not timed officially at the combine or
right
during his pro day.
Well, I would believe that. That's pretty fast. for.
I
can believe that.
He's athletic too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but he has a ton of quicks. He's got great agility. He can move out of the pocket and throw the ball. He can move out of the pocket and throw the ball with quite a bit of accuracy as well. But some of his stuff in the middle of the field is really special. And I'm talking about like even tight underneath stuff. Like you got that 7-yard choice route or that 6-yard choice route with your slot receiver, and that receiver breaks into it. Like we take an in break to the middle of the field. Now the quarterback's job is ultimately to hold the middle linebacker or the middle of the field player just enough to keep that guy open, but he doesn't know necessarily if he's going in or out. And there's 5 or 6 throws that you're like, oh wow, I mean, rifled it in there, and that's the only spot that ball could have landed to be caught, and it's there. But it's shown a lot. Like him throwing slants, him throwing digs, throwing any of the underneath quick stuff, it's really accurate. And funny thing is, just doing these two quarterbacks, you talk about a couple things. Like one, he does have like rifle bullet zip on the football. I mean, it is coming out like John Elway. That's a big step, but that whatever. It's right. Coming out hard. The thing is, we talked about Jay Daniels in terms of throwing the ball down the field and finding, like, he's got a ton of different ball angles and catchable ball flights. And McCarthy just lets that thing fucking go. Like, him throwing the 18-yard comeback is like, the receiver almost has to turn around before he throws it because that sucker is on you. Like, he has a hard time finding different angles with the ball and finding different approaches to throw the ball. He's just throwing a cannon every time. And I think that's harder to teach a quarterback. I think it's harder to teach him to tempo the ball and to layer balls and to do some different things like that. I think it's harder to learn that.
You're impressed with his arm.
Oh, he's got a big time arm.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
And accuracy.
See, I think one thing I do think about McCarthy is he'll get fixated on a one read, and he's not as quick through his reads. But that's also tough to say because you're going, okay, is Michigan coaching this route concept as a one-man show to a check down to a back? Or how are they designing and creating their offense? I hate Michigan's offense. I hate what they're doing on offense.
Why?
Like, for a college offense, and I get it, they ran the ball really, really well.
Yeah.
Okay? They're an effective run team. They had more 7-8-man protections, 2- and 3-man concepts down the field than anybody in college football. Had to be.
Yeah.
Like, so many times, you're 2nd and 8, and you got an 8-man protection. Dude, I mean...
That's odd.
Are they really that box committed? But then here's the crazy thing. Like, so you're watching a quarterback who you're like, dude has to get out of the pocket. He's flustered back in the pocket, but you got an 8-man protection with 2 tight ends in. And anytime you have a full 8-man protection, you're in a full line fight. But you don't just him protect. Like I got him,
right.
Call it him protection. You're in a slide protection where you're all sliding down. That eliminates gaps in the pocket. That eliminates, like, escape the A gap, escape the B gap.
Right.
It essentially, if you're slide protecting in the right way and you don't have anyone open, you have to run around the edge. So he's got a lot of lateral scrambles. And, yeah, you'd like him to be able to get out of the pocket and put the ball on somebody. There's nobody out there.
Right.
So he's got some throwaways and some things that look like he's flustered. But, bro, I got 2 dudes out running down the field. They have 4 or 5, potentially even sometimes 6 in coverage, and this is true. What do you want me to do here? And I don't really have any run lanes. So
they played a lot of really good defenses. You know, the Big Ten had some excellent defensive teams. You know, Iowa was dominant defensively. Penn State was great defensively. Do you know, in the Penn State game, I don't think they threw a pass in the second half.
He had a ton of halves where he, like, 2, 3, 5 passes.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't throw a pass in the second half at Penn State. Not one.
And the thing that I don't like about that, and I'm not saying it would kill him as a prospect for me, but it's almost like the one-year quarterback that they just haven't seen enough. They haven't had enough. There's not enough offense to what they've done, to what they've learned. They haven't seen enough defenses. Like when you're not in a lot of spread stuff and moving around, formationally, you see basic defenses throughout the game. That's also why Michigan wants to stay in heavier set offenses, and because they'll make the defense incredibly predictable by doing that.
Right.
But I think he is going to need a ton of work to learn how to go through progressions, to learn how to go like deep to short, different levels. To me, that's just not. I haven't seen enough of it. So. Like for McCarthy, he's like a Shanahan guy. That's what we need. We need a lot of run action stuff. We need some keeper. We need boot. We need to keep him simplified, I think, early. And I'm not saying he can't make every one of these throws, and that he couldn't learn to do all of this. And a smart coach would help him. And I don't know. I haven't met him. Would hope he's a smart kid.
Apparently, the intangibles are like off the charts with him. One of the reasons he's been flying up boards since the season ended is that he is smart, he is, you know, charismatic, he's got great leadership ability, etc.
Yeah. And all those things you want in your leader, but he's got to be the leader. Like, you have to be able to perform and play on an NFL level for those things to really matter, or you're Colt McCoy. And everyone loves Colt McCoy, right?
Right.
But his intangibles and smartness doesn't help us if he's a bench player.
Do you think he's a bench player?
I'm not taking McCarthy. No, I don't think he's a bench player. But do I think he's a sure thing? I don't know. I don't know if he's a sure thing. He's not a sure thing. I think there's enough questions to what his ceiling is and how far up the stairs he is on the way to the ceiling.
The comp for him repeatedly has been Kirk Cousins. He's more athletic than Kirk, right? Much more.
I think he's Baker Mayfield.
Okay. He played pretty decent football this year. Yeah.
It's hard to say that Kirk's really the comp.
Kirk doesn't really get out and run and move like McCarthy does. Yeah, agreed. And it's more about that. What you said is that the perfect offense for him would be a Shanahan-style offense.
Right. Well, here's the thing that's awesome that you can do if you are taking him overall 4. Implement a Shanahan-style offense.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is wild. So we like, you know, this offense, but our players don't really fit it. Let's do something different. Football's not that hard, Kev. I mean, everyone sees it. Most coaches know how to do it or know what it is.
Yeah.
Everything, even in a Shanahan, it's a Shanahan-style offense. It's still a West Coast system with essentially the same terminology as Andy Reid, or a lot of it. I actually don't know what Andy Reid's terminology is, but it's a Coryell system in terms of how you read language, or
Walsh.
A West Coast Walsh, or and then there's like the Belichick stuff that's, I think, different.
Right.
The Patriot stuff.
So, in the two quarterbacks you've looked at it, number 2, they'll both be on the board. If you're making the pick for Washington, you're selecting?
Oh, Jane Daniels.
Okay. Is number 2 overall too early for J.J. McCarthy?
Yes.
All right, so
let me answer that question in a different way. It is not too early for J.J. McCarthy if Jane Daniels isn't on the board. And Drake May is not on the board, and I haven't watched a ton of Drake May yet, but if there's it's too early to take a flyer for me on intangibles and a lot of football unknowns when I watch Jayden Daniels on film. Jayden Daniels would have to really suck in an interview. I would have to walk through, I'd have to spend a day with this kid and say, I cannot stand him. He is not our dude. That I would have to know to make that decision.
Sure.
You and I are not going to know that.
Right.
That's fun, though. It's an exciting time of the year, so.
All right. We'll
see where they go. But I think this is an easy one out of those two. We'll watch May. And the reason I did it this way I'll bet you I like May. I mean, obviously, I know who it is. I've looked up enough stuff. I've read a bunch of stuff. I think I'm going to like it. But I did May last.
All right. So we'll do
see if I change my mind.
And I want you to watch Penix Jr. also from Washington. Mm-hmm. So we'll do those two, if not later this week, the week of the draft, which is the following week. All right. Get back to it.
We'll get it done this week.
I know you got kids stuff. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Chris Cooley, everybody. Two quarterbacks down, at least two more to go. We'll try to get to those by the end of the upcoming week. Back on Monday. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.